You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Brent Thomas, and I hope you guys are doing good out there. I don't know who's there yet. We just launched this thing, but my God, they're coming in bucket loads.
They are. Wow. Let's do it.
And of course, it's always a great pleasure to have you here, Mr. Longbeard.
Thank you, sir. It's nice to be here again. And hey, do we have something going on Saturday?
We do, as a matter of fact. We will be joined, ladies and gentlemen, by the fabulous Mr. or Doctor. Is he a doctor? I think Brooks might be a doctor, but Brooks Agnew is going to be joining
just
us.
Just say the name.
He's going to be joining us here on the portal on Saturday evening, ladies and gentlemen, where we'll have a great opportunity to dive into his world a little bit and with a touch of the paranormal. And he's also an inventor. He's invented like a electric truck, like a semi-truck kind of thing.
Wow.
The guy is just, you know, he's like brains on steroids. And he's an accomplished author. He's a Amazon best-selling author, or I think that's what you call him, right?
Yeah.
He reached peak status as far as being an Amazon author, and he has a new book out. Right now, it's called Charm of Favor, and it has to do with the Clinton Crime Syndicate. So, and he's done the Birth series, B-E-A-R-T-H.
That's right.
And he's pretty well-known and regarded for that. So he'll be on the show on Saturday to flex his muscles on the portal, his mental muscles.
He's got them, too.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can bring enough for the rest of us.
I know. Here, pass that stuff around. Yeah. Where's that secret sauce at?
Yeah, exactly. So, but tonight's show, we're going to do a show on the Black Eyed Kids because, I mean, it's one of those creepy, dark, horrible subjects, but it's just so damn interesting. I don't know if anybody knows. I mean, there's, of course, the ongoing debate, is this a real phenomenon or not? And I don't know, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of encounter stories. And if you get into the metaphysics of it and the quantum physics of it, okay, anytime people believe in a phenomenon, that energy manifests into something. So does that make the phenomenon real? So I don't know. I mean, this is just, it's one of those chicken or egg things, right? The point being that whomever had the first encounter, I don't know. I do believe that these things are probably not a new phenomena. It's just the name is new.
Right.
Black Eyed Kids. I think that this is a bleed through of the Nosferatu vampire mythos, and possibly birthed a lot of the legend that we've come to know today with the vampire lore. If you're not familiar with what Black Eyed Kids are, essentially they are these children that show up at like 2 and 3 in the morning in rainstorms and blizzards. And they seem like they're about 8 to 10, maybe early teenage years. Mm-hmm. And they look down and they ask for help and they ask to be let in. So they show up at people's houses, allegedly. They knock on the door, ring the doorbell, whatever, and people answer the door. And of course, there they are. There's these little kids outside in the dead of night when it's certainly not safe for little kids to be out in the dead of night. And they want to be let in. Now, one thing that's commonly reported is that people that encounter these, even before they answer the door, they have this primal fear building in them. Mm-hmm. And they don't know why. They don't know why. They're just like, a feeling of dread came over me just before I answered the door, whatever. You know, you hear that in so many of these stories relating to this phenomenon. So there seems to be. So we have to, for the sake of the show, we have to say, yes, they're real. We have to say, and I don't know. I've never had an encounter myself, but I can only report on the phenomena. So what the hell was that?
Not me.
Did you hear that, though?
I did.
I don't even know that sound. Bing bong. Oh, is that a MeWe sound?
Oh.
It is.
Oh, my.
MeWe.com, ladies and gentlemen. Oh.
Oh, it's T.
Yeah. It's Taz MeWe something, or she put a smiley face. I'm going to close MeWe.
But, okay. See ya. Bye-bye.
So, allegedly, people get a primal fear, and they answer the door. They see these kids in the dead of night in just the worst of circumstances, and the kids are like, can you let us in? We got lost and we need to call my parents, you know, our parents or something. Mm. Now, people are at the door and most commonly people do not let them in. You know, there's only a few stories I've ever read, and we'll get into a couple of those where people actually did let them in, and we'll get into that as the night progresses.
Yeah.
But sure. What are these things? What are they? Are they an entirely spiritual being? Are they not at all physical, but they appear physical? Are they something to do with the vampire mythos or the Nosferatu or, you know, or some kind of variation of that? And that's, again, what leads to the... So they may be a physical creature, but in a different living state than we are. Do they feed on us? Is there something they need from us physically that they draw from or that they, you know, that they create or... What is this phenomenon? And nobody knows. So, but the key part is the reason they're called black-eyed kids is because generally when they answer the door, they're kind of looking down. They got oftentimes reported wearing like hooded sweatshirts and stuff like that. So people can't really see their faces, but then they look up. And when they look up, their entire eye is absolutely black. There's not like a pupil, iris, sclera. It's just black. So people are reporting this as what they see. And, of course, that's an absolutely terrifying look. Excuse me. And, of course, if you watch the TV show Supernatural, then that would just mean they're a demon. But in this case, are they a demon? That's another good question. I don't know. Are they some kind of demon spawn thing?
Demon spawn.
I don't know. But we're going to get into these stories tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and you guys can be the judge. But, yeah, they're just a creepy kind of thing, though. And I don't know what to make of them personally. I guess, you know, I've always said I don't pretend to be able to say what's real and what's not real. I think in anything to do with the paranormal, there is no boundary between what's possible and what's not. It's just anything is possible. And as you do research into the paranormal,
it just gets creepier.
It does. It just gets more and more bizarre. And even that, like even the cryptids that people see. It's like, oh, it looked like a broomstick with, you know, with arms or, you know, look, there's the one that's the Nightwalkers. They look like a pair of pants walking, oh, you know, with
Nightcrawlers.
Nightcrawlers. Thank you. Nightcrawlers. Yes. And, you know, I mean, that is absolutely bizarre. I don't know what to think. It looks like a marionette to me or some kind of puppet. But,
yeah,
you know, whatever the case, I don't know. But the claims just get bizarre and bizarre and bizarre. But we live in a multiverse. And so... We don't have any clue of what's truly impossible because anything is possible, you know. So let's get into these stories, and you guys can be the judge. You guys can tell me what you think.
Oh, Randy Dawn.
Yeah.
She says, What if BEK are sent to lure people into situations? What if they're the pre-shadow people stuff?
Ooh, that's good. Good question. That's a great, great observation. It's totally possible. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just any of it is possible.
It is the paranormal.
Could be. That's all we can say. Could be. And, you know, I'd love to know all these things. I really would, because it just has me curious as hell. But all we can do is just keep reading and exploring the world and see what we find. Don, talk for a sec.
Talk for a sec. Hey, okay, let's see here. A girl in the night. Let's see what this is about.
I'm going to go to Beard Vision here.
Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah. I went to bed fairly early and ended up waking around 4 in the morning, got dressed and left the house at 5:45 a.m. It was still dark out, and I checked the weather just before I left the house. It was chilly, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And there was a fog warning with low visibility. To my surprise, when I walked out the front door, I was met with a breathtakingly clear pre-dawn sky. I live near downtown of a mid-sized city, but I could see the stars that I hadn't noticed since moving out to the suburbs. I really like the observational astronomy, so I walked out with my head up, smoking a cigarette, and spotting planets. I passed by a gap in a building that allowed me a closer look at the horizon, and I had just noticed the morning star, Venus, when I almost ran straight into a girl standing in front of me. She was taller than me, about 5'4", and very slender. I'd say she was between 12 and 14 years old. She was wearing a thin white turtleneck and skinny jeans. She was lit from behind by the window of a convenience store, so I couldn't see her face too well, but I could see that she had medium brown skin and a whole lot of curly black hair. As I stopped short a couple of inches in front of her and quickly apologized, she didn't move or look at me. She appeared to be gazing off in the distance across the street. If she had been older, I would have written it off as weird and continued on my way, but I get worried about kids very easily. It wasn't even 6 a.m., and this young girl was out alone and not really dressed for the weather either. I started to feel nervous. The girl looked fine, clean, and whatnot, but her demeanor was so odd, I was beginning to think that she may have been attacked or run away from a party gone wrong. I opened my mouth to ask if she was okay, but before I could say anything, she spoke, still not looking at me. "I think I'm lost." She paused for a few seconds before turning her head and looking into my eyes. "Can I come home with you and use your bathroom?" As soon as she looked at me, I felt the bottom of my stomach drop out. I felt so stupid saying this, but there was something wrong with her eyes. She was still partially in shadow, so I tried to rationalize it was a trick of the light. But as I looked back at her, I couldn't deny that there was nothing there. They were black, but it was worse than that. They looked like pits, as though her eyelids opened into a black void inside her skull. Still, she was a child, and I still hadn't had my coffee and stuff. Like this doesn't really happen, right? It's just crazy. People, the tales spinners on the internet, I swallowed my fear and tried to smile. "I'm on my way to Starbucks, and they have a bathroom there, so why don't you follow me?" It was as though she hadn't heard me. Her expression didn't change. She just kept staring at me with those empty eyes. "I need to use the bathroom," she repeated. "I'm lost and I don't have any money. Please help me." Nothing about her face looked scared or pleading. She was completely blank. "I can buy you food," I offered. No reply. "Come on, why don't we just go somewhere warm so I can call your parents?" At this point, I was shaking with fear. I felt ridiculous and frustrated. I just wanted to run home and cry. But no way was I letting her see where I lived. She looked at me for another beat, and then suddenly, as though she put on a mask, her face lit up with an angelic, charming smile. Her eyes, though, didn't change. "See you later," she said lightheartedly, and skipped off in the direction that I had come. "See you later? Jesus, I hope not." I turned and watched her go, but before she was even a block away, she looked back at me, and I knew I had to run.
Ooh.
Well, now there's a story I haven't read before.
Which is good. That's what we aim for here on the portal, is not to repeat content.
Yeah, this
weekly.
was only uploaded on October 2017, so just a few months ago. So, wow.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That is creepy. That's all kinds of creepy. See you later, though.
Ooh. Yeah, see you later. I don't think so. I'm thinking probably not.
No, I'm thinking that's That's when you got to get the hell gone.
Yep. There's a bunch of people noping in the chat room. Nope.
All right, I'll just get going here. Lee Brickley, a paranormal investigator, examined a case. He claimed that a local woman had suddenly heard a terrifying scream in which she believed to be a child in danger. She ran in search of the child, and after initially not seeing anyone, she noticed that a girl dressed in white stood behind her. She stated that the young girl had her hands up over her eyes as if she was waiting for a birthday cake and was silent. The woman, who also had her young daughter with her, asked the strange girl if she was okay, which seemed to prompt her to take her hands away from her face and open her eyes. And that's when I saw they were completely black. No iris, no white, nothing, the witness told Brickley. I jumped back and grabbed my daughter. When I looked again, the child was gone. It was so strange. So, I mean, there's one where it was there, but is suddenly gone. It suddenly appeared and suddenly left. So that would seem to indicate a spiritual presence then. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Because, you know, like this last story, she just kind of appeared to him, but, you know, he almost walked into her, wasn't watching. But this person saw it and then it was gone. Phew, gone. Apparition style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
So that was a real short one, but a lot of these are very short that I'm reading from this list anyway. According to David Weatherly's investigations, a strange encounter involving black-eyed children occurred in the small village of Aisne, France, in 1974. So 1974, that goes back quite a ways. Okay.
That's a ways, yeah.
Which would predate the term black-eyed kids then. Okay. Mm-hmm. The case was originally investigated by Joel Mesnard and Jean-Marie Bigorni. I don't know. I was trying to sound all French there, but once I hit that last name, I was lost. Bijon. How's that? That sounded good.
Sounds French.
It sounds French, no?
No.
That's all I got, ladies and gentlemen. Involving two men named only as Alan G. and Patrick V. While leisurely driving around a small village, the two men stopped their car in front of a house while attempting to do a turn in the road. As they glanced into the property's courtyard, they saw five mysterious figures who appeared to be looking at them. The figures were around 1.3 meters tall, or 4 feet tall, and were all dressed in the same long garments. Their hair was long, seemingly right down to their waists. The strangest thing by far, however, was their solid black eyes. The figure closest to the men's car gestured to them to come into the courtyard. Unnerved and frightened, the men sped away from the scene. It is claimed that they returned later with more people with them, but there was no sign of the strange figures they'd seen earlier that day. When the investigator spoke to people in the area, one neighbor stated that he had also seen the strange figures. He believed they were children and had seen them playing in the road.
Mm.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's all kinds of wrong. But again, there's that look, that feeling of dread. And I think it's more than just seeing, hey, their eyes look really black. You know, I think it's more than just that. I think it's just this primal,
yeah,
almost genetic scream. Like,
yeah, flee or fight. And this one's just a flee.
Yeah.
It's like, get the hell.
I've never ever heard it called flee or fight.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. But
yeah, so it, just.
Okay, I thought there was a new version.
No, it's Mandela effect. That's what it is.
Don Mandela all over the place.
You know, I gotta ask this. You know, is Mandela effect just simply because people start saying things differently than we used to?
No.
Are you sure?
It's always been Berenstain Bears.
It's Bernstein, but okay.
It is now, but it wasn't. It wasn't for me. All right, next comes. An unnamed U.S. Marine said that in November 2009, he had a strange encounter with black-eyed children near the barracks where he lived. The anonymous witness stated that he was alone in his room one evening watching a movie when a knock came at his door. Expecting it to be his roommate who had forgotten his key, the Marine opened it without hesitation. When he did, though, he was presented with the sight of two small children standing outside. As soon as he saw them, the man stated that he was filled with dread and had an impulse to slam the door shut as fast as he could. That was before he realized that both children had jet black eyes. So there again, the foreboding came before his visual understanding of what he was looking at. So despite his fear, the Marine asked the children what they wanted, to which they responded, all the while staring straight at him, that it was cold outside and they wanted to come inside and read. And read. Wow. The Marine suddenly realized that no one else was within sight. And as the children took a step towards the room, he gave in to the impulse which was racing through him and shut the door quickly. The knocking continued for several minutes in addition to rattling from his window before the noises stopped and the children appeared to be gone. The Marine made some idle inquiries the following morning, but few people who had been on site during the strange encounter stated that they hadn't seen or heard anything strange. So it's very selective, it seems. And I wonder if, you know, I don't know. It's just why only him? Why wouldn't they go door to door to door then?
Right.
You know, okay, well, that guy didn't let us in. And yeah, no,
I'm sorry. I wonder if they're attracted to certain types of people or certain, you know, things about that person.
Is it a resonance thing? Yeah, that's a good question. Are they cueing into something more spiritual than whatever physical shape and whatever people have? So are they cueing in on some other unseen factor?
It's like sharks and blood in the water.
Right, yeah. So what about that person made him pray? And, you know, many times, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about children's spirits and how I don't really believe there are children's spirits. And I know many people disagree with me, and that's fine, and I get it, because you hear so many stories about children's spirits and interactions with them. But when you look at us as adults, I mean, if something were going to prey upon adults, on grown people, the one thing that anything preying on us would want us to do is to drop our guard. And the one way to make an adult drop their guard quickest is to appear
as a child.
Because any normal person is, you know, with, you know, normal as far as psychology, normal as far as an intelligence, psychology, and whatever. But any normal person is going to see a child and go, I want to help you. I want to help you. You know, it hurts. It hurts us to see children suffering. And so we have this desire to automatically open ourselves to do this. And that's why I believe people experience these ghost children, is because the first way to open yourself to an attachment or possession or some kind of other nefarious connection is to open yourself to them. Mm-hmm. And when you see a child, of course, it's like, oh my God, this poor child's all alone. It's died. It's all alone. I've got to help. I want to take care of it, you know? And so therefore the attachment comes so quickly and easily after that.
Right.
But, you know, and I can't claim to know this for sure, but I just think in most cases, I believe that there is no children's spirits, right. But there may be several circumstances where it makes sense, and I could be completely wrong, but I think for sure, more times than not, whenever I've heard of children ghosts stories, it's always followed up with, it was no child at all. <You know? laughs> I mean, that's like the next part of the story.
Right.
And it's always like, oh, and then things got bad. Then I got scratched. And then the furniture is moving. And, you know, it just goes downhill from there. I got a
ghost infection.
Yeah. I got a rash now I never had before.
You know? Does this look bad to you?
Yeah, exactly. Does this look infected? I'm just kidding.
Should I scratch it?
So.
But yeah, I wonder if it's because, you know, like you said, you know, we're programmed to help a child, and it opens up that emotion, you know, is that the, you know, and when you have the emotion of, oh my God, a child who needs help, you know, you have that sympathy going on, you know, and you want to cuddle and console and that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, and people other than me, but still, mm-hmm. You know, is it the emotional connection that they hit first or, mm-hmm. you know?
Right. Well, in the case of these black-eyed kids, though, there's some overriding factor where people are feeling this dread
before they get
right
to the
before they even really get to the part of thinking through what's going on. Now, Pixie says, "What about children who have past life memories?" Well, this isn't to negate any mm-hmm. possibility of reincarnation. I believe wholeheartedly in reincarnation, and I think that that's just a natural cycle of us growing and developing into whatever it is we're supposed to become while through this plane of existence. And so, yeah, I do believe that children having past lives is makes perfect sense, but I just don't believe so much that they just get left behind, because I think if there's anything good and just and right in the universe,
there would not be children ghosts.
There wouldn't be children just left behind. It's just like, you know, screw you. Didn't you see the steps? You know?
So, yeah. There, they posted the intergalactic notice.
I mean, my minion can walk over toys for 3 hours when I ask him to pick stuff up and not see it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I just think that there's someone bringing these children home
right.
when they pass. Like, there's some angelic being, there's some, I don't know, caretaker or guardian or whatever you want to call it that goes, okay, your time's up. Come with us now. We're going to take care of you. So I just have a hard time believing, if there's anything right, just, and good in the universe, that these children's spirits would just be, you know, too bad. Sorry, it didn't work out. Have fun haunting that refrigerator. You know, I just don't think that that's the way things work. But that's just me. You know, I hear you, lady. I hear you.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so anyway, that's just my two cents. And again, I can't claim to be right. I just... That's what feels right to me. And so I have to go with my instinct. You have to go with your gut on these things, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. Afternoon from Wake Tech Community College in Raleigh, North Carolina, 20-year-old Carrie Kisner took a detour and stopped at the Triangle Town Center Mall. After visiting the mall, she made her way back to her car in the parking lot. And as she did so, she noticed a strange, almost sick-looking boy talking with an older lady. The boy looked pale, with dark rings around his eyes, and he appeared to have a rigid and unnatural posture. The old lady appeared to be searching in her purse for something to give the young boy, whom Carrie estimated to be around 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie suddenly became more acutely aware that there were very few people around, and the place seemed to take on an almost sinister feel. She quickened her pace to reach her vehicle, but as she passed the pair, the young boy looked in her eyes, locked eyes with her, rather. Carrie couldn't help but stare back, and the boy's eyes were completely black, like gaping holes in his head. Again, that's just like you were saying.
Yeah.
From your story. She moved away as quickly as she could while the boy suddenly turned and walked away from the scene, not waiting to receive whatever the old lady was searching in her purse for. Carrie stated that she had the strange impression that while she was staring at the child, he could read her mind and knew what she was thinking about him. Very wild. And that's the story.
Wow.
But, again, yeah, are they able to read us like a book?
Yeah.
And what made her more attractive prey than the old lady? I don't know.
Younger life force. Well, if you're going back to, you know, Nosferatu, if you want to say, like, you know, psychic vampires.
Sure.
That's
a possibility.
So, you know, a younger life force, you know, why go for somebody who's, you know, been alive for a while, and why not go for the younger stuff? I mean, sounds good to me.
Yeah, I would agree. It's yeah. As creepy as that sounds. So now this one is apparently been caught on camera, and it has a YouTube link, but I'm not going to play somebody else's YouTube video. Although she was technically an adult when she was executed at age 21 in 1542, the childlike black-eyed alleged ghost of Catherine Howard is said to appear regularly at Hampton Court Palace. Recently, 45-year-old Trevor Tyre, T-Y-R-E, managed to snap a photograph of the dark-eyed specter kneeling in the gallery and seeming to peer over the railings. The story goes that after she was imprisoned at Hampton Court, Catherine momentarily escaped from her guards and took this route in a desperate search for King Henry VIII in order to beg for her life to be spared. Tyre, who is a coach driver, and decided to take some pictures of the impressive building while he waited for his group to return from their sightseeing, said that when he took the picture, he couldn't see the black-eyed apparition. Only when he returned home did he and a friend notice the strange girl staring down at them dressed in what appeared to be a white gown. Mm. Whether it is indeed Catherine Howard or an unknown black-eyed child, several staff members at Hampton Court Palace have stated that the figure has been seen by many people over the years.
Wow.
And that would just say that that's more of a haunting.
All right. I would agree, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Kind of like the lady in white, you know, and, mm-hmm. and yeah.
The one thing, you know, other than the first story where the guy, or the woman, whatever, was out looking and sudden, oh, she was a woman with her small child, hearing a child scream, went out looking for it, couldn't find anything, but then turned around, boom, the child was there, covering her eyes like she was waiting for a surprise, and then dropped her eyes to, you know, to show the black eyes,
right.
and then suddenly was just gone, boom. So that sounded more like a spirit as well. But the other encounters don't sound so spiritual. It sounds like a physical being standing there. But could they be multidimensional? I don't know.
Huh.
It's hard to know.
It is.
It's just hard to know. Okay, here's one of the horror stories.
Uh-oh.
Woman lets black-eyed children mm-hmm. into her home.
Mm-hmm.
In January 2016, a report appeared on the internet said to have come from an unnamed woman who had not only encountered black-eyed children, but made the mistake of allowing them into her home. According to the report, it was a decision that she believed would have lasting implications. The woman claimed to live in Vermont and told of how, in the middle of a blizzard one evening, around a year earlier, a loud knocking sounded at the front door of the house she shared with her husband. Thinking that someone had been in a motor accident due to the weather, the woman went to answer the door. A quick look out the window revealed footprints in the snow leading to the house, but there was no sign of a vehicle on the road. Now, a little unnerved, she awoke her husband. As the banging on the door continued, he went to answer it. Two children were stood on the doorstep, a boy and a girl, looking to be around 8 years old. The woman recalled that they were not dressed for the cold conditions outside and that she felt instantly unnerved by their presence. Despite her probable better judgment, she invited the two children inside. As she ushered the two children into the living room, she noticed how her cats appeared to be afraid of the visitors, with one in particular hissing at them as they passed. She offered to make a pair of cup of coffee or cocoa, sorry, to warm them up, and recalled that whatever she asked of them, their reply was always the same: "Our parents will be here soon."
Oh boy.
She came into the room with the two cups of cocoa, and as they looked up at her to take the drinks, she noticed with horror that where their eyes should have been were two jet black balls like giant pupils. As she stared at them, they both suddenly asked if they could use the bathroom. She tried to remain calm and directed them to it. A moment later, her husband's nose began to bleed,
right. mm-hmm.
and then the power suddenly went out. As the woman attempted to make her way to get her husband a tissue, she noticed both children standing at the end of the hall, motionless and staring at her. They suddenly broke the silence with and said, "Our parents are here," before opening the front door and making their way back out into the night. Even stranger, as she went to close the door, she saw the children getting into a black car as two tall men, both dressed in suits, stood next to it. They, too, entered the vehicle and drove away. In the months following, the woman's husband was diagnosed with an aggressive form of skin cancer, and although she didn't go into specifics, stated that she had suddenly began to suffer from regular nosebleeds and described herself as being in the worst condition of her life. She is convinced that both her and her husband's ill health is connected to that snowy night when they allowed two black-eyed children into their home.
Yep.
Yep. Wow. Not good. Not good. And that's a theme that plays out through many of these encounters where people said they let them into the house. There's reports of developing necrotic tissue damage where it's like suddenly parts of your body start rotting. And it's horrid, horrid. Nasty infections, weird fevers and illnesses that don't ever seem to go away. And some reports of death. So it's definitely not something to play around with. One of the earliest accounts of black-eyed children dates back to 1950 in Virginia and concerns a 16-year-old boy known only as Harold. According to the story, which was researched and investigated by David Weatherly, the teenager was walking home one afternoon when he came across another boy leaning against a fence as if waiting for someone. Harold attempted to speak to him, but received no response. He was about to walk off and go on with his journey when the strange boy suddenly stated to Harold, "I want to go to your house. You're going to walk me up to your house." It was then that Harold noticed the blackness of the boy's eyes. There was no white, just solid black. Then something even stranger and more chilling happened. Harold had begun to contemplate turning and running home as fast as he could when the boy blurted out, "Now, don't you run away from me. You're going to walk me right up to your house." Harold turned and ran anyway, faster than his legs had ever carried him before. He later revealed to his parents that, as he did so, he heard a scream behind him, a scream that sounded very similar to that of a bobcat. Interestingly, his parents believed their son's account, so much so that his father was said to have grabbed his gun and immediately gone out looking for the menacing boy who had demanded his son take him to their family home.
Yeah, crazy.
His mother apparently thought her son had an encounter with the devil himself and stated that she would take him to see the local priest. Very strange. Now, I should mention that some of these reports also seem to have a level of compulsion to them, that when they make these claims, people are in absolute terror, but they notice that it's their bodies, like their hands are reaching for a doorknob as if to open them on their own, like not because they want to open the door. So it's like they almost lose control to a degree.
Right.
And maybe it depends on the person. So some people would be far more susceptible to that than others, but very, very creepy. Eesh. So let's see what the next one. This next one's a little bit longer, but I'm gonna get through this list and then you can take over for a bit, Don.
Certainly.
A strange tale of black-eyed children encountered was broadcast on Darkness Radio in September 2015 and was said to have taken place in a gas station in northeast Louisiana. The encounter took place in November 2012. The gas station was a lonely building just off the highway and was the only service station for miles around. It was around 3 a.m. and the attendant was going about his normal duties when the power suddenly went out, plunging him into darkness. Using his phone as a makeshift torch, the attendant made his way back to the backup gas generator and switched it on. The backup lighting came on, but only the parking lot and the hall to the register was lit up. The rest of the gas station remained enveloped in darkness. The area had experienced heavy winds that evening, so the attendant wasn't terribly uneasy, figuring that bad weather was probably to blame for the power outage. That was until he saw something moving at the edge of the darkness. He watched intently for several moments, eventually making out what looked to be three children riding bikes. As soon as he saw them, two leaped from their bikes and made their way over to the gas station. They stopped at the doorway and stood staring at the attendant, now a little unsettled but still not overly concerned. He made his way to the door and opened it, asking the two children if they were okay, and stated it was late for such young kids to be roaming around near the highway. One of them, a young girl, asked him if she could use his phone. As he handed her his mobile phone, her eyes met his, and the attendant saw that they were solid black orbs. "No," the girl snapped. "I need the real one," motioning to use the landline phone in the gas station itself. At this point, fear finally overtook the attendant, and he pushed the door shut and locked it in one move, shouting as he did so that the girl should go home. The children stared at the attendant through the window for a moment longer before turning around, getting on their bikes, and riding off into the darkness.
Yeah.
The following morning, the attendant told his boss of the ordeal and requested that he go through the security cameras. However, they had been off due to the power outage. Oh, that's terrible.
Now they're messing with power. Wow.
Yeah. So it crazy, is not known crazy. If the power going out was connected to the alleged black-eyed children's arrival or if it was just a bizarre coincidence. I'd say it was connected. We're going with that, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Wow.
Very creepy, though. Yeah. So they didn't want the cell phone at all. They wanted the landline because that was inside.
Yeah. Yep, yep.
So they can't seem to clear that threshold. They can't, without being invited in, they're stuck. And so I believe that that's where the legend comes from, the vampire tales about you have to invite me in. So.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that compulsion, that and they played on her emotions, you know, about being kids, but she had that eerie feeling.
Yep, exactly. So. Very strange.
Yep. God, I could not, I couldn't, I'd end up having ghost poops in my pants.
Didn't you get freaked out the last time we did the Black Eyed
Yes.
Kids? Yeah. Don because does not like the Black Eyed
because,
Kids.
Because one time before we did another one, and if I remember correctly, our stream went down or something.
That's right. We had all kinds of
technical problems. Had issues talking about them and the MIBs. Oh, we've had all kinds of issues.
That's right. That's true. That's true, ladies and gentlemen. Some topics tend to have ill effects on our ability to do our show. So, but so far tonight, things are going good. So
yeah, let's just knock on wood and keep going.
I'm knocked. I have knocked.
I've knocked three times on the windowsill.
There, that's the third time. Report from an Ohio man who was given the pseudonym Noetic.
Oh, dang it. I was just looking at that one. Oh. Go for it.
Okay. Told of a strange encounter in July 2010 with two black-eyed teenagers outside the data center where he worked. Noetic was taking a break during his night shift and was smoking a cigarette outside the building at around 5 a.m. when he noticed two teenage boys across the street from his building. He felt immediately unnerved as soon as he noticed them, perhaps because they appeared to be staring straight at him, but were otherwise motionless. He quickly finished his cigarette and went back inside the building and back to work. Around 10 minutes later, however, the intercom for the front door buzzed, and as Noetic turned to observe the monitors, he could see it was the two boys who had been staring at him earlier. He pressed the talk button and asked what they wanted, stating he was busy. Neither of the boys spoke, but one of them motioned to the camera for him to come outside. He pressed the talk button again, and they would have to leave, and he went back to work. The two boys continued to stare into the camera as though they were looking through the TV monitor into the room where he worked. Mm-hmm. After another 10 minutes or so, 10 minutes, that's creepy.
They're
just staring at the camera for 10 minutes.
Jeez.
So after another 10 minutes or so, Noetic decided to go to the front door and ask the boys to leave and to let him get on with his job. Before he opened the door, however, he sneaked a look at the two boys through the one-way glass. They looked normal enough, apart from the fact that they had completely black eyes, and this made him feel even more on edge. But he decided to open the door anyway and tell the boys to leave, or he would have to call the police. As soon as he opened the door, one of the boys said to him, as if he had been reading his mind, "That will not be necessary, sir. We simply need to use your phone. Can you let us in?" Noetic declined, saying that nobody was allowed in, and the boys asked again to be invited into the building and then stood there staring at the now distressed man. Noetic pulled out his mobile phone, repeating his threat to call the police, and pulled the door shut again. He went back to observe the pair from the safety of the monitor. One boy remained at the door and stared into the camera, while the other boy made his way to the back of the building and stared into the camera there.
Nice.
Oh, God, that's horrible. Noetic called the police, all the while watching his monitors. The boys made their way to a blind spot on the system security cameras, but while Noetic waited for them to reappear on one of his monitors, they seemed to have simply vanished. By the time the police did arrive, at around 6 a.m., 3 hours, there was no sign of either of the two strange teenagers. And the last one on this list. One of Jim Still's daily pleasures was to step outside of his house and enjoy a cigar in the open air of the early evening. At some point during his nightly smokes, Stills began to notice a strange young boy walking along the street awkwardly. He saw the boy night after night, and for reasons he couldn't explain, he felt more and more uneasy with each passing evening, so much so that he gave up his nightly pleasure and stayed indoors instead. He kept watch from the safety of his home on the young boy, who continued to appear each night, roaming the street with a stiff walk, sometimes remaining outside until the early hours of the morning. Time passed, and Still's interest in the boy declined, until he eventually forgot about the strange sightings altogether. That changed one evening when he stepped outside of his front door to have a cigarette and stopped dead as he saw the boy standing directly in front of him. He stared at him with eyes that were completely black and lacked any type of emotion. The boy asked Stills in a matter-of-fact tone to let him inside of his home. The demand prompted Stills to rush back inside his house and slam the door on the terrifying child. He began to keep a nightly watch again for the strange boy, and although he didn't see him again, he apparently never again dared to venture out from his home after dark. That could be a reality check right there. Yeah. That could definitely do it.
Lady Death says, hell nah. Hell nah to the nah nah. To the nah nah nah.
To the nah nah, yeah. Yeah, that's all just all kinds of broken. That's just twisted.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, again, it's such a strange phenomenon, and it's so the accounts of it are so brief and isolated.
Right.
So there's these little windows of something happening and then nothing. And the different people, there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it, but allegedly there is. So I'm going to hand you the floor for a little bit.
Are you going to pass the mic?
I'm passing the mic, brother.
Pass the mic.
All right, we're going to Beard Vision.
Uh-oh.
Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thanks for checking out Encountering Black Eyed Kids Part 1. Check out Part 2 next week. And thank you for listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcast Network. Hi, this is Don with Paranormal Portal. Thank you for checking out our Paranormal Portal podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/paranormalportal. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/paranormalportalradio.
Betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storyline. lines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.